Okay, mark your calendars. Today is Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. And if you've been anywhere near a gaming forum, a Discord server, I mean, frankly, just scrolling through your feed today, you know the strategy gaming world just shook.
It really did. It's the kind of news that makes you double-check the URL to make sure you're not on a parody site. It's genuinely that surprising.
Exactly. We're talking about Civilization Seventh. But before we get into all the new shiny toys, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. We are exactly 1 year out from the launch of Civ 7, and let's be honest, that first year, it was rough.
Rough is a very diplomatic way of putting it. It was an identity crisis.
Right. I mean, I remember the launch threads. The vitriol was just, you could feel it. You start a game as Egypt, you're building the pyramids, feeling that connection, and then boom, the age changes, and the game basically says, okay, now you're Mongolia.
And that was the core friction. The developers were trying to emulate that system from humankind, you know, that idea of layering cultures. On paper, it's a cool academic concept. Cultures do change. But for a Civ player, it felt like a betrayal. You spend 40 hours building an empire. You want to stand the test of time as your people.
And that brings us to today, the bombshell. Firaxis has dropped what they're calling the One Civ update. Or, if you want to get fancy with the patch notes, the Legacy Path.
And we need to be really clear here. This is not just a patch. This is a fundamental rewrite of the game's DNA.
So our mission today is to really unpack this thing. We aren't just reading patch notes. We need to understand how they mechanically fixed an engine that wasn't built for this, the insane amount of art required, and why analysts are calling this a rare grade A++ move.
It's a fascinating case study in actually listening to your audience, even when it means tearing up your own blueprints.
Okay, so let's get into it. How does it actually work? Because for the last year, the game engine literally didn't let you stay as one civilization. It was baked in, you had to swap.
It required a massive, massive technical overhaul. So if you boot up the game today, there's a new toggle in the new game menu. It's called Fixed Civilization. Or if you dig into the advanced rules, it's labeled Unified Civilization Evolution.
Unified Civilization Evolution sounds very academic. But basically, I click a button and I get to stay me.
Precisely. But here's where it gets really interesting mechanically. In the old system, you swapped cultures to get a new tech tree for the new age. The argument was always, well, we can't let you play as ancient Egypt in the modern age.
Right, that was the developer's defense. We don't know what modern Egyptian tanks look like.
Exactly. But now, if you choose this legacy path, the game generates a dedicated, bespoke tree for your starting civilization that evolves through all three main ages.
Okay, so let's make this concrete. The source material uses Iran as the example. I love playing as the Persians. So I start as the Achaemenids in the ancient age. What happens when I hit the exploration age?
Well, instead of the game saying, okay, now you have to be the Abbasids, you enter a phase called Middle Ages Iran. You stay Iran. But, and this is the key, your bonuses don't just stagnate, they evolve.
So my powers change, but they stay thematically Persian.
Exactly. The example given is the satrapy's power. In the ancient era, that gives you gold generation, right?
Right, for the tax systems.
When you transition, that bonus doesn't just disappear, it upgrades. It becomes the Silk Road trade network.
Okay, and what does that do?
Now it provides gold and science. It reflects the history of the region becoming this hub of knowledge and commerce.
Oh, I like that. That's really cool. It feels like your civilization is actually adapting, not just putting on a different costume.
That is the key takeaway. Adaptation versus replacement. It preserves the identity.
But hold on, because this leads me to the part that honestly blew my mind. The visuals. Because mechanics are one thing, but if I'm playing as the Maya in 2026 and I'm still in stone huts next to glass skyscrapers, it's going to look ridiculous.
The visual overhaul is, it's arguably the most ambitious part of this whole thing. This is where the art team at Firaxis apparently went into total overdrive.
Because think about it, if you play as a civilization that historically didn't make it to the modern day, like the Maya, they didn't build skyscrapers, so what does the game do?
They had to engage in what they call speculative history. They had to ask, if the Maya Empire had never fallen, what would its architecture look like in the 21st century?
That is such a cool creative prompt.
It is. So for the Maya, they created these modern Maya architecture concepts. We're talking skyscrapers of glass and steel, but they use the geometric patterns, the step designs of ancient Mayan structures.
So it looks modern, but it has that distinct cultural flavor.
Exactly. And the source mentions China too. Instead of generic skyscrapers, the modern buildings have traditional roof elements. It creates this visual flow. And what's fascinating here is the concept of organic evolution.
Explain that. Because in the old version, and this drove me crazy, your city would just snap from one look to the next. It was so jarring.
Right. It felt like a movie set change. Now it's gradual. And even better, your ancient buildings don't just disappear.
They don't. So I don't bulldoze the temple to build a parking lot.
No, they become heritage sites, museums. So your modern city grows around your ancient core. You might have a glass tower right next to an ancient temple.
Wow. That sounds incredible. It actually makes the city feel like a real place with history. Like walking through Rome.
Usually trace its history all the way back to turn one.
Okay, I am sold on the aesthetics. But I know there are competitive players listening right now who are just screaming, what about the balance?
It's a valid scream.
Because if I stay as one civ and you can swap to get the perfect counter civ for the era, aren't I at a disadvantage?
That was the biggest fear. And Firaxis apparently spent months balancing this. They've introduced a new mechanic called civilization continuity bonuses.
Continuity bonuses. It sounds like a loyalty rewards program.
In a way, it is. If you stick with one civ, you get stackable stats that the changers don't.
Stackable is a dangerous word in gaming. How does that work?
So let's say you have a unit production bonus from the ancient era. If you were swapping civs, you'd lose it. But if you stay the course, that bonus stays. And then the exploration bonus stacks on top, and then the modern bonus.
Whoa. So by the end game, you're a juggernaut.
You become highly specialized. The source calls it creating a modern traditional army. Mm. You might have superior morale or lower maintenance costs compared to a player who swapped three times to chase the meta.
So it creates two distinct playstyles.
Yes. You have the flexible players who react to the immediate situation, and then you have the perfectionist players who play the long game, stacking bonuses.
I love that. It validates both playstyles.
Yeah.
It doesn't force you into one optimal way to play.
And honestly, in a strategy game, offering valid choices is the holy grail. You don't want one path to be obviously better.
Now, speaking of choices,
yeah,
we have to talk about the AI. Because nothing ruins immersion faster than an AI leader with amnesia.
This is the AI Strategy 2.0 engine. And this is huge for the single-player experience. Previously, the AI treated you like a stranger every new age.
New phone. Who dis?
Essentially. But now they have historical memory.
Okay, give me an example. The source had a great one about Caesar.
Right. So let's say you're playing against Julius Caesar. And way back in the ancient era, you defeated him in a war. You embarrassed him. In the old version, by the modern era, that would be forgotten. But now, he remembers.
He holds a grudge for 2,000 years.
He does. The source has a dialogue line where he might say, my ancestors have not forgotten that defeat, but now my legions have returned with modern tanks.
That gives me chills. My legions have returned with modern tanks.
It turns diplomacy from just a transaction into a narrative, an epic. If you've been allies for millennia, that bond is stronger.
It sounds like they are finally leaning into the storytelling potential of the game. It's not just a spreadsheet with graphics. It's a saga.
Which is why players were so upset in the first place, right? Civilization is about standing the test of time. This update finally aligns the mechanics with that slogan.
So, besides this massive overhaul, it is the one-year anniversary. Did they drop any other goodies?
Oh, there is plenty of content. Three new civilizations. We've got Atlantis, which is sort of a fantasy historical mix.
Always fun. Maybe controversial for the purists.
Sure, but fun. Then we have the Inca with new mountain mechanics. Looks great for defensive players.
I can already see the turtle players smiling.
And then we have Kiev, which is being released for free to everyone.
Nice. Free is always good.
Yeah.
But I saw something about a new building type. Strategic wonders.
Yeah. So regular wonders, they have a passive bonus forever. Strategic wonders provide direct military bonuses at specific borders, like the Maginot Line. But, and here's the catch, they degrade over time.
They fall apart.
They require maintenance. Rebuilding, yeah. It adds a management layer. You can't just build a great wall and forget it.
That's a nice layer of realism. Infrastructure crumbles.
Exactly. And it helps solve the snowball problem in late games, because maintaining your borders actually costs resources.
That's smart. Now, for the tech heads, I see the update is 5.8 gigs. But more importantly, there's a note here about processing speed.
Yes, a massive optimization. They've boosted late game AI processing speed by 30%.
Oh, thank goodness. We have all been there.
Yeah.
Waiting 2 minutes for the AI to take its turn in the year 2000. The civilization coffee break.
It's a huge quality of life improvement. And I should mention, On cost, if you have the deluxe or founders editions, this whole update is free. For everyone else, it's 50% off right now.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. We've talked about the what and the how. I want to talk about the why. You said earlier this is a great A++ move. Why is this such a big deal?
Because of the humility involved.
Humility in the gaming industry.
It's so rare. Think about it. A studio like Firaxis bet the farm on this changing civilizations mechanic. It was their big innovation. To come out a year later and say, you know what? We missed the mark. The players were right. And then spend millions to engineer a whole new system. That almost never happens.
Yeah, usually studios just double down. They say you're playing it wrong or you just don't get our vision.
Exactly. Or they just abandon the game. This shows the power of player feedback. The backlash on Reddit, on Discord, it actually worked.
It feels like a victory for the community.
It is. And commercially, it's a brilliant strategy. By fixing this, they've likely secured the long-term sales of the game. The source suggests Civ 7 could now surpass the legendary status of Civ 5 and 6.
That is a high bar. Civ 5 is sacred ground for a lot of people.
It is. But Civ 7 now has the best of both worlds. If you like the humankind style, you can do that. If you want the classic one Civ experience, you have that too. It's the ultimate sandbox.
Before we wrap up, I have to give a practical warning to everyone rushing to boot up their PCs. There is a catch regarding your save files.
Yes, this is crucial. You cannot apply this to an existing save file.
So I can't just load up my game from last week and toggle a switch.
No, the whole rule set is baked in at turn zero. You have to start a new campaign, go to New Game, Advanced Rules, and check that box.
So say goodbye to your current empire, rip the Band-Aid off. But honestly, with modern Maya Skylines waiting, I think I'm ready to restart.
It's the perfect excuse.
Now, just before we go, I want to leave you all with a little something. The source material ended with a very provocative thought about the future.
The rumor mill.
There is chatter circulating about a space layer expansion.
Yeah, hints of something like Civilization beyond Earth. The idea is that after you get a science victory and launch your ship, the game doesn't end.
It just keeps going.
You land on a new planet and you continue playing with your evolved civilization on a new map.
So Civ 7 could theoretically become the endless game.
From ancient Earth mud bricks to alien planet colonization, all in one continuous save file.
If they pull that off.
Yeah.
Goodbye, social life.
It would certainly redefine the genre, I guess.
Well, we will be watching. In the meantime, the One Civ update is live now. Go check it out. And if you want to see those visual comparisons, head over to the Taking Game YouTube channel. They have some great side-by-side footage.
You really need to see the visual flow to appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for diving in with us today. Go build an empire that actually stands the test of time. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.